Morning and welcome to the live streaming of our service from Hounslow West Evangelical Church. We trust that even though we meet in this particular way, that we will still have that sense of the Lord's presence with us as we gather in His name. The word of the Lord calls us to come to worship Him. Praise the Lord, all you nations, extol Him, all you peoples, for great is His love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Different is my life because I am a Christian. How different is your life because you are a Christian? I have to eat, I have to sleep, I have to work, I have to pay the rent or the mortgage, just like anyone else. What sets the life of a Christian apart? What makes us different? What have Christians got going for them? What's positive about the Christian's life? Now let's think just about a few good things that we can say about ourselves because we're Christians. We can say that we've got new life in Christ. We can say that the Lord Jesus Christ sticks by us and He's with us more closely than a brother. We've been saved by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in heaven today, right at this moment, we have a great high priest in glory interceding for us, perfecting our prayers, perfecting our praise. We have a Savior who is present in the gathering of the Lord's people, who is revealed to us through the Word and who is communicated through the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. We also learn that we are blessed because one day we are going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course we have that assurance that one day we will be with Him in heaven. But day to day, it's very easy for us to forget our blessings. We can become so familiar with Christian terms that they begin to lose the significance for us. So someone says we have a great high priest in glory. So what? So what if we have a great high priest in glory? Now, I've never heard a Christian say that kind of thing. But I think I could say that I have seen Christians live like that. Living like it means that it makes no practical difference whatsoever that we have a great high priest in heaven. It doesn't matter one bit in the way that I feel, in the way that I function, in the way that I doubt that I happen to have a great high priest in heaven. For example, when it comes to dealing with discouragement, when it comes to dealing with trials and suffering, when it comes down to what quite frankly seems the mundane existence of day-to-day irritating problems that don't seem to change or ever go away, how does it help me through that lot, the fact that I'm a Christian? It is our human tendency to forget the blessings that the Lord has given us, to forget the encouragement and the comfort that the blessings of Christ brings to us. It's so easy for us to take our eyes off the real reason why we are here on earth. So easy for us to get swallowed up by concern over our own local and very temporary circumstances. So time and time again, in order to counter this human tendency, the Scripture reminds us of what Christ really means in our lives and to our lives. In this first verse in chapter 2, Paul reminds us of four particular blessings that God has given us. There is encouragement from being united with Christ. There is comfort for us from Christ's love. There is a common sharing in the Holy Spirit. There is tenderness and compassion. There are four blessings that Paul mentions in this first verse. Encouragement from being united with Christ, comfort from Christ's love, a common sharing in the Holy Spirit, and there is tenderness and compassion. As we read about these blessings, we need to give some time to think about them and to meditate upon them so that we can allow the truth of those blessings to sink into our hearts, to be a part of our lives, to become a part of our thinking. So let's take each one of those in turn and think about these four blessings so that we can understand them, so that we can rejoice in them, so that we might be able to express our gratitude to God for what we have received in the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, then, encouragement from being united with Christ. Paul has just spoken at the end of chapter 1 of the Christian suffering, that we, a suffering that we should expect because we are in Christ. But he reminds us that there is also a great encouragement that flows from being in Christ. He combines the idea of suffering with encouragement in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 5. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. The encouragement that we have because we are united in Christ is that comfort abounds in our hearts and our souls through the Lord Jesus Christ. To be in Christ is to share in all the blessings that Christ has gained for us. This encouragement from being united with Christ in Philippians 2 verse 1 is like a moral strength. It's a support, or it is a comfort. The word encouragement, if we were looking for a picture in order to try to understand what it means, we could think of the supporting bracket of a bookshelf. I know it's not a very glamorous picture, but the bracket keeps the shelf in place. The reason why we are in place is because Christ supports us every moment. The reason why we stay in place is because the Lord Jesus Christ supports us. He encourages us, and throughout eternity, our staying power will always come through the support that Christ gives. Throughout all eternity, we will still be in Christ. We will be united with Christ. And the strength to persevere comes from the fact that we have encouragement because we're united to Christ. Ordinary people like us, we can look into God's Word and we can see that we have been chosen in Christ from before time began. I don't see it so much these days, but some time ago, the way Reader's Digest would send you a letter saying that you are one of the few in the Hounslow area who have been chosen, and you are already successfully passed through the first stage of the draw to receive 6 chances to win the bonus prize. They say they have chosen you, but they don't know you. They've never heard of you. Now, that's not what it means when we say chosen in Christ. Chosen in Christ is not just some kind of random selection. God has set His love upon you personally, and you have been chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ. That kind of knowledge should make us feel really honored and privileged, and it should certainly make us feel humble. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight." We've been chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world was put in place. Think of the encouragement that we have because we are united to Christ. To be in Christ has radically changed the impact that sin can have in our lives. To be in Christ is to have died to that reign of sin and to be raised into a new life of consecration to the Lord Jesus Christ. For we are no longer under that dominion of sin. Romans 6, verse 6, Paul tells us, "For we know that our old self was crucified with Him," with Christ, "so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." But to be in Christ also gives us a forward look of expectation, a sense of hope. Because to be in Christ is to live with the expectation that there is something greater in store for us just up ahead. To be in Christ is to live with a great hope that the trials and tribulations and difficulties, that they are only for a little while. And that through this little while, though we may have to experience failure and disappointments, we will know that there is a bright new day lying ahead of us because we are in Christ, when we will be transformed into His likeness and we'll never disappoint Him, we'll never disappoint ourselves. Paul reminds us of this in Philippians 3:20. "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, He will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body." There is something, there is a blessing, a hope that we have in Christ, and that should bring us encouragement. Encouragement because we are united to Christ. This is something of what it means to have encouragement, to have hope. But the second blessing that Paul reminds us of is that there is also comfort from Christ's love. We are encouraged, but we're also comforted. The word translated comfort means a comfort that results when a friend comes close to our side and speaks to us. Now, in this case, the NIV interprets that the love is Christ's love. The comfort of Christ at our side, whispering words of love and comfort. There is an element of tenderness and gentle persuasion involved in the meaning of this phrase. In a loveless and cruel world, there is comfort in Christ's love, communicated by Christ himself, who comes alongside, who is close to us, who sticks closer to us than a brother. In the loneliness of broken relationships, there is the comfort of Christ's love. In the complexity of modern life, Christ draws near and breathes in the simplicity and the beauty, the comfort of his love into our lives. We have been given the blessing of the comfort of Christ's love. We have been encouraged. We have received encouragement because we are united with Christ. And we have the comfort of Christ's love. The third area of blessing that Paul draws our attention to is the common sharing in the Holy Spirit. This means that the Christian has a participation in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in the Christian. He has taken up residence within us. He has invested in us all everything that we need to live the spiritual life. We find Peter assuring us of this in 2 Peter 1 verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to enable us to serve God, empowered by the Holy Spirit to enable us to worship, empowered by the Holy Spirit so that we're able to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the empowering agent of all that God is currently doing among us. And the important point here is this, that we have this in common with every other brother and sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. Unity, church unity, being united is something that Paul is driving at here, and we'll look at that in a moment. But the fourth area of blessing that Paul reminds us of here is about the tenderness and compassion. Had they not, and have we not indeed received from the hand of God treatment that exuded the very tenderness and compassion of a Father in heaven? Sin had polluted us. Sin had broken us. Sin had left us at a distance from God. Sin had left us incapable of any movement in a Godward direction. But God in Christ came with tenderness and compassion, and he lifted us up out of our helpless position. Into our lives, God brought the touch of his tenderness and his compassion. We need to remind ourselves of the blessings that we have in Christ so that we can warm up our hearts, and with deep affection towards God, we should be able then to adore him and to worship him and to thank him for everything that he has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is not all that Paul has to say about these blessings. You will notice that Paul in verse 1 has introduced each of these four blessings to us with the word if. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. Now, this is not the if of doubt. It's the exact opposite. It means since. Since you have these four blessings, since you have this Christ-centered focus, since you have this great honor and privilege done to you, since you have these privileges, then these are the responsibilities. If you have been blessed, and Paul says you have been blessed, then here is the outworking of those blessings. because you have been blessed, because you have been encouraged, because you have comfort, because you have this common sharing in the Holy Spirit, because you have this tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, says Paul. This is Paul saying to us that we have our privileges, but we also have our responsibilities. And Paul sets before us two groups of four responsibilities that we have as an outworking of the blessings that we have in Christ. Now, at the end of the previous chapter that we looked at last time, Paul called upon the Christians at Philippi to strive together as one for the faith of the gospel. They were to stand firm together, all of them. When Paul was thinking about them in prayer, he thought of all of them. The problem was they were not all united. If they were going to stand firm for the gospel, they had to have internal unity. This was necessary. Why is it necessary? It's necessary to have unity because the gospel is a message of reconciliation and peace with God. How can the world be convinced that Christ reconciles us to God if we are not reconciled and at peace with one another? If we are not demonstrating reconciliation, if we are not demonstrating peace, how can we preach a message of reconciliation and peace? So Paul, because it is so important, he summons the church to unity and to mutual consideration, to think about the other brother, to think about the other sister. If this has meant anything to you, then make my joy complete. As your spiritual mentor, said Paul, I long to see Christ formed in you all. As I have reminded you of four blessings, now if these blessings really mean anything to you, then let your behavior include these four positive attitudes. Be like-minded. Have the same love. Be one in spirit. Be one in mind. And in your behavior, avoid these four negative attitudes. Four positive attitudes for you to have. Be like-minded, have the same love, be one in spirit, be one in mind, and four negative attitudes to avoid. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Do nothing out of vain conceit. In humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. You see how these four verses are structured. If you have these blessings, then here are responsibilities that you have. Here are the repercussions from the fact that God has blessed your life. Here is the outworking of what God has worked into your life. Paul causes us to move in our thinking from the blessing, the fourfold blessing that we have in Christ, to the fourfold responsibility that we have because we are in Christ. You see, the point we're making is this. Being a Christian does and should make a difference to how we think, to how we speak, and to how we act. Everywhere we look in Scripture, we find that whatever God teaches me about Christ, whatever He teaches us about salvation, whatever He teaches us about His character, there is going along with that teaching the demand for us to change, the demand for us as his people to be changed more into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of praise that God wants us to bring is the sacrifice of obedience. In 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22, it says, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." How am I going to worship the Lord this morning? Some people may be feeling that they haven't been able to worship because they haven't been able to sing. It is a vital part of our worship to sing. We're not just warming ourselves up to hear the sermon by singing. It's a vital part. So how then do we worship this morning as we listen to God's word? We worship by responding. We see the blessings that God has given us, and we rejoice in these gifts that God has given. But then we vow to change in the way that God wants us to change. Lord, I will worship you just now and throughout this week because I'm going to be like-minded. I'm going to endeavor to have the same love. I'm going to strive for that oneness in the Spirit, to be one in mind. I'm going to put a check on my behavior to make sure that I don't do anything out of selfish ambition, that I don't behave out of vain conceit, that in humility I'm going to value others above myself. I'm going to look out for the interests of others and not just my own interests. Pledging ourselves to obedience, that's worship. That's part of worship. Flowing from these blessings that we have in Christ, we have moral responsibilities. There is a moral behavior that is required of us. The outworking of the privileges that we have in Christ is the responsibility to live as Christ lived. For to me to live is Christ. Yes, that means I have all the blessings in Christ, but I have all the responsibilities to live to Christ and for Christ. Later in this chapter, next time, we will see Christ as the supreme example of the type of behavior that Paul is now encouraging us to have. That is an example for us to marvel at. Yes, for sure it is, but it is also an example for us to follow. If these blessings in Christ mean anything to you, then, Paul says, be like-minded. Sometimes we get the superior idea that we're going to live for Christ and not really worry all that much about the Christians. Has God got news for you? Christ prayed that we, his people, would be one. That we would be like-minded. Now, this is not a demand for uniformity, but it is a demand for unity. How can we have unity when we don't agree on everything? Well, it's a mindset. It's an attitude. It's an approach which looks for reasons to unite rather than looking for reasons to divide. How can I say this? How can I do this in such a way that is going to provide an opportunity for greater unity? One writer puts it this way: being like-minded is a unity of spirit and sentiment in which powerful tensions are held together by an overmastering loyalty to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Such unity can only come when Christians are humble and bold enough to lay hold of the unity already given in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the same Christ that we dwell in. It's the same Christ that we are united with. It is the same Holy Spirit that we have a share in. If these blessings mean anything to you, then Paul says, not only be like-minded, but have the same love. This love is the mutual love that should pervade our congregation. This love answers to the Christ's love for you that we have been reminded about already. Everyone giving love in the same sacrificial way. Whatever you feel is the shortcoming of the church, you make up for that shortcoming by supplying double measure, and then others will be able to follow your good example. If these blessings mean anything to you, then be one in spirit. That's a call for inner harmony to take the place of strife and self-interest. If these blessings mean anything to you, then be of one mind. Life directed towards a single goal, and that single goal is the glory of Christ. So in four slightly different ways, Paul has repeated the same idea over and over again, hoping that we will get the point. Unity is essential for the spiritual growth of the church. But that unity is impossible if each person is out for themselves. Therefore, Paul stresses four selfish attitudes that we should avoid. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Selfish ambition stands at the very heart of our fallen humanity. It was selfish ambition that made Eve reach out for that forbidden fruit. It was selfish ambition that made Adam share in that. We will allow self-interest to dictate values and behavior at the expense of others. That's the mindset of the world. Don't let that set of values rule you, says Paul. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Do nothing out of vain conceit. Vain conceit is the high opinion that we have about ourselves. And that high opinion that we have of ourselves is totally unwarranted. In humility, value, consider others above yourselves. Consider others to have better motives than you. Always be prepared to give the benefit of the doubt. When someone says something, and the meaning could be go either way, give them the benefit of the doubt and embrace the good meaning. Don't be seeking after the hidden agenda. Don't have too high an opinion of yourself. And in humility, value others above yourselves. Consider the needs of others to be greater than your own need. Don't become so wrapped up in yourself that you neglect your ministry to others. These are the implications that flow from the blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not looking forthly, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Putting others first. Being willing to forgo your own interests and your own preferences. What Paul is saying in these few verses at the beginning of Philippians 2 is this. Since I have such Christ-centered blessings, now respond to Christ in obedience. If you have these blessings, these encouragements, these comforts, these sharing, this love, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, by having the same love, by being one in the Spirit, being one of one mind. That's the implication of all the blessings that we have in Christ. That's the outworking of being a Christian. Remember the question we started with? It was Does it make any difference that you are a Christian? And Paul says, yes, it does. He says, if you have, and since you have these four blessings, then here is the behavior that is appropriate, that should follow the blessings that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us come before God in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have blessed us in the heavenly places in Christ. Lord, that's a great honor. It is a great privilege. But coming with that is incredible responsibility. Lord, how can we be united like this? How can we have the same mind and the same love, the same sharing of the Spirit? Father, we pray that we will see from this letter to the Philippians that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Help us to depend upon the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to live in this way, that practically it does make a difference that we're Christian. Help us, we pray. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you all, now and forevermore. Amen.